Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hello, welcome to Side, Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Live.
We finally staged a coup.
Studios. Coming up next, we got more information on my science homework and how soccer practice went today. This is Fox. We are Fox Sports.
You even got the theme song in there. Nicely done.
We got a new host on the show now. There you go.
Probably better debates, more cogent arguments to come tonight here on Fox Sports Radio. Nicely done, Zoe.
Zoe said to me, Dad, I want to open the show. I want to do what you do. I said, sure. I said, there it is right there. So we have to debate her science homework and how soccer practice went today. There's your big debates going up here. Embrace debate is what we're doing.
You've just been rendered moot.
That's it. That's all I need. I said, you can fill in for me days now. We can switch days. We can become a thing. You know?
I'd rather not discuss the science homework.
Yeah, well,
You're not going to understand it.
Oh, no, I dare say
I and the rest of America may not understand it. Soccer practice, okay, we might be able to, you know, get a couple of good facts out of there, especially if there were some misconnections and some jawing going on. Mm-hmm. But if everybody's just playing and it's really nothing of consequence, then it was just an hour and a half practice. We shrug and we move on. I need the controversy. I need the, Janie, you're supposed to get out there when I lead you down the right sideline.
Yes, that could be how it works. I like it. You know, there was a show in New York City that was on for a long time. John Gambling was the guy who was the host, right? He called Rambling with Gambling in the morning. I used to listen all the time. My grandparents
listened. Is that
his real name? His last name was Gambling, right? You would think he would have done a gambling show, right? Why not? Well, there was John Jr., and then John Jr.'s son. It's a whole big family thing. But you would think, like, gambling, it would be, you know, you'd really have stuff going on with the number, right? It would be all about the number. But, you know, this is like...
Yeah, you would have embraced that early on. Yeah. But, I mean, it was a tough go, unless you were selling it 1-900. It's my 5-boot lock of the week.
But
what happened
you
to the 6-foot? We don't need it. That's how good it is.
You have to call me for that right now. And the thing is, he went and did the show for a long time. And then he brought his son in, and they would, like, do shows. Like, you know, the dad would do a couple of shows, and the son would do a couple of shows. I'm like, hey, that might work a little bit. Hey, you know, I want to take the next couple of days off. Zoe, you can do the show tonight. And then I'll come back and do Thursday, Friday. Maybe we can make that work. You know, hey, I'm sure Maddie would want to get on and do some shows.
Maddie
do shows together. Oh, sure they would. Are you kidding? The soccer talk they would both have? Oh, my God. It would be off the hook. Megan Rapinoe calling in every 5 minutes to want to debate stuff.
Just going to say this right now, as our bosses are listening, I like my job. Jason may be free and easy at this point in his life. I don't know. I kind of like opening my mouth and saying some things and creating some controversy now and again. But no, eventually, you know, I think some folks would be mad that she was able to jump the line, too. I think that's where the problem comes.
Oh,
and
anger. That's another network that has had nepotism to the next degree that has not made people happy. That's not us here.
Impugn the name of people that wear green?
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. But it is the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Zoe said, I'm going to make sure to say that best. I said, you have to say it that
way. That's pretty
good. I said, you have to say it that way. If you don't, I'm going to take the microphone right away from you. She goes, all right, don't worry. I got it.
Yeah, she's obviously worked on the bit. Nicely done, Zoe. Get that on your demo reel.
Well, the thing is that the office where I do the show from at night is right next to her bedroom. So she hears 16 times a night, hey, welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike. So she hears it the entire time. So it's like an earworm in her head. I mean, it's not quite. I like
Has it given her nightmares and sent her to therapy yet? Or
no. Just sometimes she goes, Dad, I can't get to sleep. I go, I'm sorry, I have to do the show.
And then you started singing Overkill by Men at Work. I can't get to sleep.
Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you, and that's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Well, you know who discovered exceptionally common sense today? The Giants. One day after, you know, Joe Judge, you may be able to make it another good because I have some demands. And, oh, you know what, Joe Judge, you're fired. The Giants fired Joe Judge today, a day after the, quote, retirement of Dave Gettleman. He makes it two seasons in which the Giants really underachieved, did not really have direction. Joe Judge is let go. You know, it's easy. The comedy just finds itself that yesterday things seemed great. Then he got emboldened by saying, hey, I'm safe. I'm going to make demands now. Nah, you know, Joe, upon further review, you're fired and we're getting rid of you. Wait, but I had a whole thing. I wanted to say on personnel. I wanted to have say on who the GM was. I wanted a piece of ownership. I wanted all these things. I was safe. Yeah, no, you're not safe anymore, Joe. So the Giants look like a clown show, which is what he referenced about a week and a half ago when talking about the Giants. You know, and this is the point, Mike, I make about why the Giants are sports Stonehenge, right? We got into it a little bit last night. You know, when I say that about a franchise or a team that is a relic of a bygone era, like Indiana basketball, the New York Islanders hockey, Penn State football, you know, all these great programs that were so good for so long, you know, 20, 30 years ago, and now they're a shell of what they were. The NFL moves a little bit faster, and the Giants have been a shell of what they were for the vast majority of the 90s and the early 2000s. They're a relic because they do things like it's 1992. We're going to build around a running back. That doesn't work. We're going to stick with a four-year plan. Dude, four-year plans don't work in the NFL. 2 years and you're gone. Robert Saleh, if he doesn't win 8 games next year, the Jets are having a new head coach and a new quarterback and a new everything. You don't get 4 years, but this is how the Giants do it, right? But this is another bit of evidence on why the Giants are a sports Stonehenge, right? Why did they release Joe Judge from contract today? Why did they fire him today? Do you think he really upset everybody with his talk yesterday about what he wants and the Giants made a complete 180 and said, no, you know what? Now we're letting you go. No. What the Giants did was, because this is how the Giants do things, they allowed Dave Gettleman to resign because they liked Dave Gettleman. He was just not a good GM. And, you know, they gave him the ultimatum of you can quit or we're going to fire you. He says, well, I'm going to retire. So they gave him the day to retire, to have the spotlight. Here's Dave Gettleman. We thank him for 4 years. And in business, okay, right? I can understand that. Look, this is a company that wants to do things the right way. We're going to give you the day of your resignation, and people can talk about you. I mean, people are just going to criticize you because you were a terrible GM, because you were the one that wanted to build around a running back like it was 1992. But still, we're going to give you the day. And the next day, we're going to fire Joe Judge. We don't want to step on this day and make it look completely negative for the Giants. We don't want to make it look like we're a train wreck. So we're going to allow the general manager to resign, and then we're going to announce replacing the head coach. We can't do anything about the optic of replacing the head coach, so this is how we're going to do it. Meanwhile, that's how the Giants think it's going to play. But in reality, it just plays like they're a train wreck because it looks like, wait a minute, yesterday, you make an announcement yesterday and the guy's leading meetings and he's talking to the team and the next day you fire him? What the hell are you doing in New York? The Giants don't see things in a modern way. They see things like it's 30 years ago and no matter what, we control the message. There's too much inside football going on inside the Giants. This is why they are where they are, where they've been a terrible team and they have to start over again because they still want to do things like it's 1992 or 1995. And this is an evidence of it. Hey, we want to do the right thing. Yeah, but I'm sorry, this is not how it's done in the NFL. Black Monday comes, you're getting rid of your GM and your head coach. Guess what? You get rid of your GM and your head coach. It happens at once. I'm sorry, but you know, I don't know that you want to give a day to somebody if you're going to risk what the optic is to your team and risk what it means, what other people are going to think when they want to come work for this franchise. Boy, the Giants really don't do things the right way. That's kind of how it goes. I'm sorry you don't want to, you're not in for dressing up what it's like to get fired as a head coach and have your GM quit. This is how everybody does it. Even the Bears, as dysfunctional as they are, their head coach was asking George McCaskey, who do you want at quarterback? At least the Bears knew. We're getting rid of both of our guys on the same day. The Giants are left so far behind. They need incredibly new management. They need to trust people to come in that are not involved with the organization that have 2021 and on ideas of how to build a football team.
Yeah, evidently the rant I did on the Bears and everything being on the table went a little nuts in Chicago. So that was fun. If you missed that, that was the opening segment yesterday of the podcast. Go to the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your audio. Download it. Give it 5 stars. We'll love you forever. With this situation, I just go back to the end of Jerry Reese's run, right? Couple of Super Bowls, and you always had drafts that yielded productive players. And then towards the end, well, it didn't. Guys just didn't turn out to be contributors to that same level, right? Guys like Sterling Shepard, Paul Perkins out of UCLA, he got hurt. Eli Apple, we know about his history there and moving on and all. And so the end came and it was, all right, shift forward. Gettleman comes in and we've talked at length about the Saquon Barkley pick. And then Daniel Jones, who at times flashes and other times looks absolutely lost and has been, let's call it what it is, on the shelf quite a bit because of injury. So that's not good for anybody, right? Which means backup quarterback should have some juice. Well, what did you do? You signed Mike Glennon. A mistake the Bears had made, but they only had to deal with it for a year before moving on. And now with the Giants, I mean, five of their final 6 games, they didn't score more than 10 points. They ran multiple quarterback sneaks on, you know, second and long and third and long. Like, basically, as I know, Sunday, as it was happening, people were showing the George Costanza attempt to get fired by the Yankees. It almost seemed like Judge, between the rambling after the Bears game and absolutely getting throttled by them, remember, and Nick Foles, to all the way through, was doing everything he could to say, you know what, this doesn't work for me anymore. I'm done with this. And they obliged him today. Whether they should have just thrown him out together, maybe they just like being in the headlines for one more day of look how bad this is. Because then they say, all right, look, we moved on. We heard you. We heard you, fans, media, and everybody else, which is a bad way to go. Show you have some autonomy. Show you have some juice and that you're forward thinking without it being, hey, how's that playing on sports talk radio here in New York that he's meeting with the team and it's now going to be Tuesday morning? Because Dave Gettleman didn't do a damn thing to deserve his own day. You fools. If you're done, rip the Band-Aid off. Don't let it gestate another day. Because now all you've done is reinforce, all right, decision makers. I don't know if it's the same as you have with George McCaskey, but it gets down to the same thing. It's like, all right, who's deciding my future here and how I'm going to get to run things? What GM's signing up for that?
Yeah, look, if it's Bill Parcells retiring or a guy or Gil Brandt or someone who has built Super Bowl teams, you give the guy the day. I get it. Dave Gettleman was all we want to give him the day and then fire JoJo. I mean it. This is when you look like a clown show. This is where Jaguars fans are going, oh, we should have been in New York on Sunday for the fight. Forget about being in Jags. We should have dressed as clowns and gone to that game. I'll tell you, if there was another week left in the regular season and it was we go to week 19, Giants fans would come dressed as clowns.
Oh, the clown. Out with it spread like wildfire, especially after getting that victory to end the year. Think about it. End of the year win, keep the Colts out of the playoffs, keep that streak alive at home and in London against them. Trevor Lawrence plays a good football game, a strong football game, and you still have the number one overall pick. And now you get to go find a coach to work with him. It's a beautiful thing. Giants are like, damn, we if we had one more week, we could have pulled that off.
Twitter, how about a fresco, Mike Clouds. At Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. The Giants, the Clown Show, Giants, Clown Show, Giants, Clown Show, Gettleman, Joe Judge. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match limitations. They do apply. Well, coming up next, look, we got a big story out of college basketball tonight to get to, but you're not going to believe what NBA team has compared themselves to last year's Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's not Cleveland. Welcome back, Alex Teichert, from the last 5 nights off.
Hi, guys. Thank you.
That's next. Jason and Mike, this is Fox.
And Zoe. Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. That's discover.com/match. Limitations, they do apply. Well, it took a long time, Mike Harmon, but it finally happened. Look, we got a big story out of the NBA to get to, but Keith Hernandez is getting his jersey retired by the Mets.
How about that?
It's happening after all these years.
Was there a letter-writing campaign to Cohen to make that happen? Or
well,
someone finally look around and say, something's missing here? Or did he go in and complain?
He had
like Kareem. No, I want my statue! Where's mine?
He had to fall asleep a certain number of times during a Mets broadcast, and then he'd be eligible to get his jersey retired. That's
what the over-under for 2022.
Yeah. Are you kidding? 50. 50. Easy. Easy. You know, I still can't get over, because I know this is one of the – if you asked Frostburg what one of the biggest highlights of his career was, right? If you said, okay, just, you know, because look, Frostburg's been producing for a long time. He's done a lot of things. You know, he's producing the chart. I mean, he produced the game on Sunday night, which was unbelievable. Probably the third best NFL game I've ever seen.
I was listening to that feed, man.
Ooh,
the emotion in
tough.
The booth.
Woo!
I tell you, I was waiting for one of them to pass out between him in the background or Matt Smith or Daniel Jeremiah. I thought it was going to be done by the end of it. Standing there with all that tension for 4 hours. Good God.
Frostburg would tell you one of the top three highlights of his career is when he and I almost shared an elevator with Keith Hernandez at the Dodger game about 5 years ago. Like, we went to go see the Mets and the Dodgers on a Sunday, and we were in the in the press box, and then we were walking around, and we went to get in the press box elevator, and the press box elevator at Dodger Stadium, you know, you only has it fits a certain number of people, obviously, and then you wait because it's all the way at the top. You want to go all the way down, and so there's like 15 people waiting to get on the elevator, and we're right behind Keith Hernandez, who was there with a couple other people in front. Like, oh my God, we're right behind Keith Hernandez. I remember tweeting out, going, I'm standing right behind Keith Hernandez. Anybody have any questions? Expecting, you know, just a couple of things.
Roger McDowell,
and all of a sudden,
to respond.
It was bam, 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 bam. Like, everybody in my feed was, oh my God, you're standing right behind Keith Hernandez. Because he's become this huge, you know, because of the Mets and Seinfeld. It's like, ask him this, ask him this, ask him this. Like, oh my God, Frostburg, people are going crazy. Because we're waiting. It's like 5 minutes waiting in line. And we're behind Keith Hernandez. He's talking. And then we go to get on the elevator. And we're like, okay, we're standing right behind Keith Hernandez. And the elevator operator stopped us from getting on. Like, we were like we would have been over 15 if we had gotten on. So like, Keith Hernandez, who he was with, got on the elevator, and the elevator doors closed, and Frostburg just goes, we almost got on an elevator with Keith Hernandez. And you can see, like, the disappointment just drain out of his face. I'm like, Hernandez is my guy, and you're more upset about this. Oh my God! I guarantee one of the biggest thrills of his life was almost getting on an elevator with Keith Hernandez.
Well, I mean, there's just myriad questions, and if nothing else, you forever get to say, "I rode with the mustache."
Yeah, that's
Keith
true,
Hernandez.
That's true.
And
I
you kept yelling under your breath. You just keep muttering, "Looks so natural, no one could tell." And see how long before it either becomes a thing everybody starts to chant. Mm. Or before he punches you.
Keith Hernandez is getting his jersey retired. No, I can't. It's too early in the relationship. I can't help you move. So congratulations to Keith Hernandez getting jersey number 17 retired by the Mets coming up later on this summer. Speaking of comparisons, this happened today, and I really had to stop a couple of seconds, Mike, to really get that everybody was serious about this. The Lakers lose their last game to Memphis. John Morant is fantastic, and they fall to 21-20 on the season. They're the seventh seed in the West. The only thing that allows them to be the seventh seed is the fact that, oh my goodness, the West is really, really bad, because you have the Spurs right now who are in the play-in round, and they're like 11 games under 500. So the Lakers are
are lucky to be where they are, no matter what they've had this year, whether it was Anthony Davis and LeBron and Russell Westbrook at the same time, didn't work. Whether it was Melo in the starting lineup when LeBron was out, didn't work. Nothing has worked in the Lakers. This is just who they are. They're a 500 team. Carmelo Anthony today wanted to share that LeBron James made a prediction and a comparison in the preseason that Melo thinks is pretty apropos. And this is when LeBron James said, hey, this season for us is going to be like Tom Brady's first season with the Bucks. Now, clearly in this analogy, LeBron is Tom Brady. You know, I don't think LeBron's saying, look, I'm Gronk and Melo, you can be Brady. I mean, obviously he's Brady in this.
How do I get that insurance? I'm pretty special too.
Melo would be a pretty good Gronk. I think Melo's pretty Gronk. If Brady is LeBron, Anthony Davis would be Chris Godwin? Maybe I would say, you know, he's talented, but he gets hurt a lot. I don't know. I would guess it's women. So they're just like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who last year started out 7-5, and then they caught fire the last four. Remember, they came back from the bye. Brady was great. And I remember going into the playoffs saying, if the Bucs aren't in the Super Bowl, something's wrong, because they are playing at a higher level than anybody else right now. And that's what happened for Tampa Bay. LeBron said, that's what it's going to be like for us. Well, fast forward midway through the season, because now the Lakers at the halfway point, and they are just okay. And Carmelo Anthony said today, quote, from the standpoint of starting off slow and having new guys on the team, new system, guys trying to figure it out, guys trying to figure out how to play with LeBron and AD, and now incorporating Russ, now everybody figuring out what their role is. What made it beautiful for the Bucks is that once it came together, it came together, and you saw what happened with that. Okay, timeout. And I'm calling a time to need the full timeout, not the 22nd. The Bucks were way better last year, even before the bye, than the Lakers have been. The Bucks at least had glimpses of dominance, and they were playing well. They were a playoff team. Now they got great after the bye when they figured out, okay, let's maneuver the offense around what Brady likes to do. Ta-da! And then the Bucks started winning. Once you tailor the offense to around what the player's strengths are, the Lakers would be great. I've said that from the beginning, but they don't want to do it. They want to put Russell Westbrook and have him do different things different than the last 12 years in the league and all these different things. The Lakers have nothing in common with Tampa Bay. How are they suddenly going to get it? Anthony Davis is going to suddenly come back and go, I'm rededicating myself to being the best player in the game every single night. No, he's going to be who he was. Okay, LeBron's prime is just you're trying to extend it for another game where he's not the same guy. Yes, moving him to center was a good move because now he can extend his dominance a little bit, but Russell Westbrook is still Russell Westbrook. You're talking about Carmelo Anthony being up and down off the bench. Suddenly I don't see where all of a sudden they're going to get it and catch fire. The Lakers this team, clearly they can't keep up with the younger teams. You saw them getting run out of the gym in the third and fourth quarter early on in the season. That's not going to get better for them as the year goes on. I get that you want to make that comparison to keep a happy aura around the team. Hey, we're going to be just like the Bucks. But just because you say you're going to be like the Bucks doesn't mean it's going to happen. It's just a nice little way to say, hey, maybe things will turn out better for us because it turned out good for the Bucks last year. That's like saying, hey, my next door neighbor won the lottery. Maybe I'll win the lottery because I live next door to them. Maybe that'll happen. It'll rub off on me. That's not going to happen. The Lakers are nothing close to what the Bucks were even before the bye last year when they figured it out.
Well, I enjoy the compare contrast, the if you're going to call him the GOAT by making this comparison. LeBron James says, well, if you're going to call Brady the GOAT, I mean, come on. So he's, you know, subtly throwing that one in while he's at it, not just the team comparison. But you get into the midpoint. I mean, tomorrow, right, a game, or is it Thursday, against Sacramento. That they have to keep from tripping over their tongues trying to chase that team around as it flows. They've got the third hardest schedule remaining, according to Tankathon, you know, doing their strength of schedule metrics. You know who's second? Only time they're going to be second all year, Knicks. Milwaukee, actually the toughest schedule to finish out the rest of the season. Obviously, ebb and flow, injuries, protocols, all those things come into play. But to think that just because you've had a rough first half in that regard, that suddenly you're going to go skate through unscathed is obviously foolhardy if you're a Lakers fan or anybody in that organization. However, knowing that the way the playoffs historically, and obviously every year we see a bit of a change, whether it's the NFL or the NBA, of how things are officiated and flow of games and contact allowed, whatever. In theory, the Lakers could slow things down and play bully ball, right? Now that LeBron is so well-versed at playing center and lives on the block perhaps a little bit more. And then you can go to more of the Westbrook ball control. I'm a little annoyed by, you know, media near and wide of, hey, he had a zero turnover game. If you handle the ball as much as Russell Westbrook does, the inevitability of a pass that goes off someone's hands, or just you get ahead of things and try to push it and throw it out of bounds, there's going to be at least one of those games. So marveling over a zero turnover game, you're telling on yourself if you're doing that when it comes to Russell Westbrook. But when we get down to it, can you do anything to shore up your roster? Right? Can you go find another shooter? Can you find another defender? What is Talen Horton-Tucker worth? Right? Before the season, the expectation was a lot of teams would love to have this guy and add this guy. Well, he's had some great games in his 2021-22 campaign, and he's looked absolutely lost in others. So can you do a super cut that only has the good stuff and hope nobody else in the league's paying attention to the rest? Yeah, you could try that. It ain't going to work unless it's the Giants or Bears front offices. But unfortunately, we have to switch sports when it gets to that. Insert obvious digs at our respective teams. But for the Lakers, look, as long as you've got to be at six or better, right? No, none of this play-in stuff. Six or better, and you've got a puncher's chance. Because when you slow it down and you get into series, I like them better than one game here, travel, one game there, whatever. I don't think this is a regular season squad. I don't know that they're championship worthy, but certainly I'll give them a better chance to get through a series as constructed currently.
If they do nothing and they just expect it's going to gel when AD gets back, they're going to be at the end of the year, they're going to be 500. This is just who they are. They'll be 42-40, and they'll be in the play-in round. They could be one game away from going home, and then they'll get swept by the Warriors or the Suns or the Jazz. That's just what it's going to be.
Or the Grizzlies.
Suddenly here come the Grizzlies.
Hey, franchise best 10-game winning streak, which is really kind of sad to think about. But good for you, Ja Morant.
Yeah. The Lakers feel like, don't worry, everything is going to come to how is everything going to suddenly come together? You had these guys earlier, now suddenly it's not going to happen. It's not. This is just who they are, and they're going to meander, and they're going to lose, and they're going to say in the offseason, well, now we got to redo things because that didn't work.
Just remember, nobody can Thanos a short or long population of people better than LeBron James.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
AutoZone has the free services you need to help you get back on the road, like their free AutoZone Fix Finder service. If you're having trouble starting your car, AutoZone will test your battery for free and help you find the issue so you don't spend money on parts you don't need. With over 5,600 locations nationwide, AutoZone is here to help you save time and money. With their free services, getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Well, you would think that if you were Mike Tomlin and your season was hinging on the outcome between the Chargers and the Raiders, Chargers win, we go home, Raiders win, we go to the playoffs, you would be glued to the television set knowing that, hey, if they win, we're in. If not, I don't have to go to work tomorrow. But Mike Tomlin said today, oh, yeah, that game, I kind of missed some of it.
I missed the end of it. I dozed off. I knew I had a work day waiting on me, or I assumed that I had a work day. I think at one point Oakland was up by 15, and that number made you somewhat comfortable. I'm probably better off not having watched it.
I dozed off, right? And this is where you think I'm going to say, oh, Mike Tomlin, you're ridiculous. No. As I get older and I hit 50 years old, I realize, no, I can kind of doze off in the most exciting of circumstances. I can doze off anywhere. If I'm watching a TV show that I've really wanted to watch, and it's one of those TV shows that I'm so into that I'm not playing on my phone or my iPad because it's so good, I could still fall asleep. If I'm watching the Jets on TV on Sunday, I guess something could happen, and for a couple minutes, I can wind up closing my eyes. It happens when you get to be 50 years old. As excited as you are, if you're sitting in the same position for a long time, you're laying on a couch. Oh, no. You wind up easily just getting lulled into that sense of napping and dozing off. So, no, I can even if Mike Tomlin, his entire future of this year is hinging on whether or not the Chargers or Raiders win. Yeah, no, I still understand him falling asleep. I get it.
I think there's a couple of things at play here. Number one, I mean, there's no days off. So he had a work day, whether it was going in to clean things up, say goodbye to some folks, whatever. Exit interviews begin and those discussions or prepping for those. You're doing that or you're getting ready for a playoff game. I liken it for Mike Tomlin chat me when it comes to road trips and airplanes, right? I don't fly the plane. So once we're in position and I'm locked in, if the girls don't want to play a game or watch a movie or whatever, I just look at them and say, I'm going to get a nap. And it's the best sleep I get. You know why? Because I've got zero responsibility. And when I wake up, I'm on the other side. Or a long car trip when I'm not the driver. I don't care to watch the side of the road. I've seen cows. I've seen green pastures. If there's really something interesting or you're stopping for a snack or a cup of coffee, wake me up. Otherwise, let me sleep against the window and drool as I will. Likewise for Mike Tomlin. There's not a damn thing he can do about it. So at some point, you just relax. Like, all right, it's a 15-point game. You say, screw it. I need sleep. I mean, think about all the emotion and energy that had been invested into that game to win and then to dance in the locker room as he did. Because you saw that video. He started getting down with the team in the post game on social media. Yeah. He was spent.
And that's what Antonio Brown is saying. Wait, so now it's okay? Now it's okay to be like that on social media? Wait a minute. I wound up my whole career got derailed because of that video I put out there.
No. Yeah, that, no. if he simplifies it down to that one event, man, that is some really creative stuff right there.
Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues, works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover exceptionally common sense. No, because it's watching the game. Oh, this is so exciting. It's just a little bit. I mean, the only thing I have to watch out for is if I ever feel like I'm going to fall asleep during a show, that's when I'm like, okay, something's got to change here now. But you know, knock wood, now and I'm sitting in a comfortable chair watching TV, could be the most exciting game or the most exciting television show yet. And I can still find myself going, oh, wait, I missed something. I fell asleep. My wife would say, well, what'd you miss? I go, I don't know. When did he say he was going to the north side to figure it out? Oh, my God, that was like 10 minutes ago. And she rewinds all the way back so I can see it. No, it happens all the time.
Well, you also buried the one line in Mike Tomlin's, and that he still thinks of them as being in Oakland. Raider 101 on Twitter, and then, doing the due diligence that he called them the Oakland Raiders still.
Well,
hey, man, old habits die hard. I mean, what are you going to do?
Look, when he came into the league, they were in Oakland. Was he came in where they still? You know, no, they were in Oakland. I'm trying to think if he's now bridging,
not that far back to Los Angeles.
If he's bridging L.A. into Oakland and then moving on to Vegas. But no, I've seen three locations of the Raiders since I've been in this league.
Look, if you're feeling it, you know, get up, you know, stretch the legs, splash some water on the face, maybe get a nice breath of fresh air. Look, if you're anywhere except Los Angeles, it's kind of cold at night. You can stand outside and you know, get fired up that way.
Twitter it up out of Fresca. Mike, it's Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Coming up next, two teams with big issues going into this week and next season. This is Fox.